Over the course of my career, I have seen a number of challenges to our democracy. The Russian government's effort to interfere in our election is among the most serious. And as I said on May 29th, this deserves the attention of every American.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dave Annett, Steve Rzanich, Mary Vandeveld. What do I always say? I always say we need more young people dedicated to being involved in politics.
You say it all the time.
The knowledge of politics, the knowledge of how the country is run, people to keep an eye on the government, people to make it better. You know why, Dave? Because you and I are almost in a home.
No, that's not why.
We're going to get adjoining rooms.
No, we're not.
I can drive you there.
At some point, the young people do have to step up, though. The generation has to, because they are historically turn out low in elections, and that has to change at some point.
I'd like to introduce you to the hope for the future. Jay Doherty is here. Jay, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We like Jay a lot around here, and he's in several times a week for the summer. Where do you go to school?
I go to the Latin School of Chicago.
And what year are you there?
I'm going to be a sophomore next year.
So I'm 14, 15?
I'm 15.
15 years old. 15, yeah. Where did your interest in politics come from?
Well, I actually started in like media. I really liked watching the production side of like news and how they could get breaking news so quickly. And then I kind of became absorbed in the content of it. And then I was like, wow, this is actually really interesting. It affects my life and affects everyone's life.
And would you agree that most people your age don't get that?
Yeah, I mean, generally, but there is, when you explain it and kind of break it down where it's not just all huge documents that scare people, it really, I think it puts it more in perspective, but yeah, generally, I agree.
Jay does a podcast, which we can get where?
At j-doherty.com.
jdoherty.com, his own website. He's done 92 episodes. Super Joe, how many episodes of my podcast have I done? About 10, 15?
Yeah, right around there.
And on that podcast, you have guests, I'm sure, but you also talk about your views on politics.
Right. That's correct.
This week, a continued discussion over Trump's racist tweets. And Elon Musk back in the news. He was talking about chips surgically inserted into your brain.
Yep.
And the anniversary of Apollo 11, which, of course, Apollo 11, Dave, happened, I believe, 35 years before Jay was born.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. Yeah. And again, you can get this at j-doherty.com. So do you identify as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent?
Independent, really. Because,
amen, brother.
Yeah,
see you at the party.
I know. I hear you say, you know, both sides have gone so far left and right, it's really hard to choose.
Yep. We got to stay in the middle and try to get the other folks in the middle involved.
100%.
So what do you think about the Mueller testimony?
I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought he would be a little bit more composed in his sentences. He clearly knew everything about the report. He was obviously the head person in that investigation, but he did have a little bit of trouble, from what I saw, kind of forming sentences and getting his thoughts. But to be fair, I mean, Congress was pressing him, asking a lot of double negative questions, and really just trying to get him to spill any information.
Right. So they have their 5-minute showcase to try to make him look like a jerk. He had 2 years of putting this thing together.
Right.
Did you think the Democrats or the Republicans won the day, or does it matter?
I don't know if it really matters for the general public. I think it matters to them, obviously, because they want to score political points out of this testimony. But Republicans really wanted to just yell at Mueller, saying, you know, you went on went on this witch hunt for so long, which is what Trump said. They kind of echoed his whole message of no collusion. Well, the Democrats,
they're like Ewoks. You know, don't get them wet. Don't feed them after midnight. And the other things you're not supposed to do to Ewoks. Do you remember Ewoks? You probably don't remember Ewoks. So you do remember Ewoks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think those are gremlins.
But I think you're thinking of the gremlins,
Steve. Oh,
yeah? Yeah, you don't feed gremlins after midnight.
What do the Ewoks do? Do they eat early?
Yeah, they just make noise.
They go to early bird.
Walk around in the woods.
Good reference, Steve. Are you optimistic about the future?
Yeah, I think I am. And I think it's hard to see right now in terms of politics and the next president, but I think somehow America always gets through everything, so I think we'll be okay.
Well, we're going to need you. We're going to need you. Could you see yourself running for office someday? I mean, you're 15 now. Could you see yourself running for office?
Maybe. I think it's fun to more cover it, actually, from my experience. But that's the only thing I've done. I haven't run for office, so I don't know.
There have been people that have discussed it with me through the years, and a lot of people I know, of course, are in or have or have talked about it. One of the things that people, and I'm talking about good people, not me, good people. I'm talking about good people who hesitate to be a part of it now because they don't believe they could, you know, affect change because it's so screwed up. Does it feel screwed up to you?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the rhetoric from the administration right now is really what puts what makes it screwed up, in your words. So I don't think, you know, in terms of policy, Trump is just very, very right-leaning. But I think the rhetoric makes the left go crazy and makes everyone become upset just with these tweets, you know, with these four congresswomen who have now been deemed the squad, you know, all that type of stuff. That gets people all fired up, while his policy is really just moderate, traditional conservative policy.
If I asked you to name how many other 15-year-olds are into politics, could you name them? And would it take not very long?
No. Yeah, I could not name them. It would take.
What do your friends think about you being into it?
I think, well, there's a couple people. It's not like no one's. I mean, there's a couple people that are interested.
But do you get grief about knowing stuff about politics? Are you the political nerd, or do they think, well, it's cool, it's your thing?
Yeah, I think that's the second one is really more the consensus.
Steve Grzanich has a question for. Are you taking questions?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Steve Grzanich says do you want to identify your work?
Steve Grzanich, the Weekly Reader. I just was curious. You know, by the time you're 50, climate situation is going to be here, whether we like it or not.
And by situation, you mean the worst effects.
The worst effects. Right. How is that changing how you view politics these days? Is that making you want to get more involved or not?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's been a lot of outreach to young people specifically about the climate issue. I've been following it just as kind of another message or another headline in the news, but I think that climate, at least in this administration, is being overlooked so heavily. And I think even if it's a Republican who gets reelected, if it's Donald Trump or down the road, whoever it is, I think they'll just be forced to face it because from all the science we know, I mean, it really is a very scary situation that could happen if, you know, climate change, which has been proven to exist, were to actually ensue the way scientists have predicted.
One texter says the problem with younger people is they vote with their hearts and not their minds. I would accuse probably most voters of that.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think, again, that goes back to the taking Trump's rhetoric more seriously than his policy, mostly just because Trump is the one who writes the rhetoric and the analysts and the people behind the scenes write the policies and he just signs off on them for the most part.
Yeah, no, he doesn't understand it, but that's just my opinion. In the meantime, I will tell you this, and I don't know if you'll agree or disagree with this, but, you're smarter than I am, and, you know, you got that going for you. But all I want is for the President of the United States to be the President of the United States, not the President of the Republicans,
right.
Not Barack Obama previously being the President of the Democrats.
100%.
Obviously, you're going to lean to help the people that got you there, and at times you'll have to take their side. But to be so partisan and so insulting demeans the office in a way that it's never been demeaned in my lifetime, and that net effect will go on. There was a guy that used to be the governor of this state named Rod Blagojevich. You might have heard of him.
Yes.
Blagojevich's damage that he did to this state can't completely be quantified.
Right.
But he is absolutely part and parcel to why we are so far underwater and the pension problems that we have and the other problems we have, because for the 7-8 years that he was actually in the governor's chair before he was thrown out and put in jail, he didn't do the job. And Trump is not doing the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, look, we need you. And you got to be 35 to run.
Right.
Steve, I'm going to try to get that changed to 17. I want to give Jay another year or so to, you know, get a little more veteran status under him. But by 17, I'd like him in the White House. Can we pull that off?
I don't see why not. I think, his generation, if they want to change the rules, they can do whatever they want.
So, do you think we ought to be able to vote online?
Online, I think you have to look at the big picture and make sure the security software would be, you know, completely secure.
And can't you fix that? Don't you write code for fun?
Well, yeah, I could find someone who could fix it. Maybe
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I love how Jay sits next to Walter Jacobson. where his desk is.
It confuses Dave. Dave doesn't know which one's
which. Because they're both doing politics.
Are you learning a lot from Walter, Jay?
Yeah, I've just observed him. He's very diligent in everything that he does, and I've listened to a
couple. Do you know how big a deal Walter Jacobson is in Chicago?
Yeah, I know.
And you're hanging out with him.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean, he's Walter Cronkite.
He's your cubicle buddy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He's a good guy to talk to and learn stuff from, too.
Yeah, definitely.
And he also usually has a pretty thick wallet if you want to lift it when he's not looking. What? Did I say that out loud? No. We're kidding, Jay.
Right.
Jay, give him your website again.
jay-doherty.com.
We're going to need you again. Will you be willing to do the show again? Do you feel
of
like
course.
This went well?
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay. We're going to definitely want you back.
All right. Thank you so
Jake
much.
Jake says a lot more when he's on the air than he does off the air because he never says anything.
Very
well, because
quiet.
He's respectful. Quiet. And then I frighten him because one of the first days he was here, he brought in giant chocolate chip cookies. So I nicknamed him Cookie Man. Mm-hmm. So like a mental patient, I walk out of the office and I yell, Cookie Man! And that's frightening. You know, for anyone. I don't care how old you are. Yeah. So this is a much better thing because we had a conversation like a couple of grown-ups or Jay and me.
And why did the giant cookie stop?
I think that's the first question he's going to need to answer as a politician.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
J-D-O-H-E-R-T-Y.com.